Thank you. Dying, Christ destroyed our death. Rising, Christ restored our life. Christ will come again in glory. As in baptism, Paul Roberts Sandifer put on Christ, so now in Christ may Paul be clothed with glory. Here and now, dear friends, we are God's children. What we shall be has not yet been revealed, but we know that when he appears, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. Hear now these words of grace. Jesus said, I am the resurrection and I am life. Those who believe in me, even though they die, yet shall they live. And whoever lives and believes in me shall never die. I am Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end, the first and the last. I died, and behold, I am alive forevermore, and I hold the keys of hell and death. Because I live, you shall live also. Friends, we have gathered here to praise God and to witness to our faith as we celebrate the life of our beloved Paul Sandifer. We come together in grief, acknowledging our very human loss. May God grant us grace that in pain we may find comfort, in sorrow, hope, and in death, resurrection. Would you please pray with me? O God, you who gave us birth are ever more ready to hear than we are to pray. You know our needs before we ask and our ignorance in asking. Give to us now your grace that as we shrink before the mystery of death, that we may see the light of eternity. Speak to us once more your solemn message of life and of death. Help us to live as those who are prepared to die. And when our days here on earth are accomplished, enable us to die as those who go forth to live, so that living or dying, our life may be in you, and that nothing in life or in death will ever be able to separate us from your great love in Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen. You may be seated.
I have to laugh because I've had a nightmare that I would forget my eulogy notes. And I did, but they were in the pew, so they weren't in the car or something like that. So it's not as bad as it could have been. Ecclesiastes 3 tells us that there's a time for everything. Time to be born, time to die, time to weep, and a time to laugh, and a time to mourn. This is especially on point for me today on my reflections of my dad's passing. We know that the scripture Ecclesiastes is not referring to my idea or your idea of time, but of God's time. And I know that my dad lived a very full life, and a life on his terms. If you knew my dad, on his terms is very important. And that I'm extremely thankful. Today is a day to celebrate my dad and celebrate his life and to celebrate a life well lived. My favorite scripture, my kids know this, Samantha did a plaque for me with it, it's Philippians 4. And within it, I like these words, whatever is true, whatever is noble, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is admirable, and everything is excellent, praiseworthy, think about such things. I believe today is a day where we're all remembering my father, Paul Sandifer, Paul Robert Sandifer. I'm thinking about what is right, noble, lovely, and admirable, excellent, praiseworthy about him, and I believe there are many things in his full and rich life. I place an emphasis on Robert's, as that is my dad's, and that's mine, and that's my son's middle name, so that's special. If you knew my dad, you knew he was a mastery of woodwork, and that woodwork was his passion and his life, and he had full enjoyment of it. My dad told me that he felt closer to God when he was working on his wood projects and felt passion and inspiration from his work through God. And I firmly believe that, as evidenced by pieces here. And my father's work, while we're in galleries, were also, and importantly, and still are today, remain in families, friends, and loved ones' homes. After his passing, I found a notebook of thank you notes from recipients of his works and pictures of pieces. So that was so important for him to give away what brought him joy to do and give it to those that he loved. Included in the recipients of the woodwork are many of the pastors of St. Luke, which he took great pride. My dad loved this church, as did my mom, Sandy. I can't be up here and not mention Sandy. My dad loved his church, and so many things in it are reflected in him. The banners, the furniture, benches, and many repair projects. I remember going to the church with my dad on many weekends as a boy, seeing the sweat of his efforts from his hard work, but loving doing it. He truly loved the church. Woodwork was not only a thing that he loved to do and he did well. A large part of my life was my life experiences and becoming an Eagle. My dad was very involved in that and very important to him, and he loved what the Scout program provided to the boys and enrichment to them. I have memories of Cub Scouting at our house, meetings in the shop, jamboree, Scout picnics, and camping. I remember hard work to complete this and my dad's encouragement and life lesson that anything worth doing, you should do your best and you should do it well. He believed in the Scout Oath and what a Scout is. Scout is trustworthy, loyal, helpful, friendly, courteous, kind. He believed that in the Scout Oath and that a Scout is those things and should live those things. My dad was certainly an example of someone living those values. His involvement led him to the recognition of the Silver Beaver Award, which is the highest award a local council, Cherokee Area Council, can bestow on a volunteer to outstanding service to the youth. So I'd say well done, Scout, to my dad. At the time of his retirement, my dad was chief of power finance of TVA, another job well done in my dad's life. My dad was in the Navy, and he did tours in the Korean War. He didn't speak much. He was a humble guy. And while going through his personal effects, I only recently become aware of awards that he received while his service. I also learned recently from a friend of his who came by and visited that my dad was invited during the service to go to flight school and be a pilot. What an honor, but he told my dad's best friend, he said, "But what I want to do is finish my 4 years of enlistment, and I want to be with my sweetheart, Sandy Sanford." And that's what started a marriage of over 50 years, resulting in a very enriched and vibrant life and family that Sandy and Paul built while members of this church, while raising my brother and myself. The memories of Steve and our families from this wonderful life is immense, and the love we felt during this time is a true blessing. While many of you know the feeling of being loved by him and supported as my dad's friend, that feeling as a son was even more incredible and will be truly missed. His unconditional love and support, encouragement, humor, words, and his ability to work tirelessly for those he loved resulted in that you were truly being loved. During and after my mother's death, my dad, my brother, and I developed even a closer bond. That as children is not always the case with parents, and I cherish that. That bond will be very important to me with my brothers as we move forward in our lives without my dad. I think my dad knew that, and I think that was part of his plan for that relationship. My dad taught me it's not hard work. If you love what you're doing and have a passion for it, do your best. And I think I do this pretty well. But he also taught me to say what you need to say to others and not assume you have the time in the future to say it. Sometimes we say small things that can mean a lot. I am blessed to know that I don't think there was anything unsaid with my dad. And I'm blessed that both my brother and I feel grateful in our ability to be honest and show love for each other through the end with dad and honesty. My dad taught me to take the time for small things in life and enjoy them and appreciate them. For my dad, that was watching the sunset on the house, looking at the mountain. It was enjoying a nice glass of wine. It was listening to classical music, which he loved, and jazz. For my dad, it was reflecting on the next woodwork he was going to do in the shop. On this lesson, I need to do better and appreciate the things in my own life and slow down to appreciate them. My dad faced death the way he lived his life, by doing his best and without complaints. Upon reflection, I realized this was yet another lesson from my dad to me. While I'm thankful for these things, I'm grateful to God for so many of those things in my dad's life that are. They are, in fact, truly noble, lovely, excellent, praiseworthy, and still are here and present today. And you are a part of what made them that way for my dad. I wanted to say thanks for these things, as Philippians 4 says. This is what my father would have wanted, I'm sure. Thanks to St. Luke Church, which was in my parents from the beginning when they started to now. A big part for Vicki and I being married in this church. And confirmation in this church. Thank you. Pastors who were here and witnessed, not only with care and love, but personal love, is like a dear friend, and I want to thank both of you. The care they showed was just wonderful, and it was personal to my dad, and it was personal to my family, and I'm very thankful for that. And I know it brought great comfort to my dad. I want to thank Charlotte Freeman, who's such a wonderful part of my dad's later life, with adventures, fun, wonderful companionship after the death of their own spouses. Charlotte's zeal and tireless efforts through my dad's death was a beautiful gift, not only to my dad, but to our family. Charlotte, know that we love you and appreciate you. Thanks to our families who tirelessly supported ever-changing demanding needs to be with dad, who was sick, and to do what was needed and what needed to do. I want to thank Vicki for the encouragement to do what I needed to do. Also, thank Samantha and Jonathan for the concern and love they show my dad as well as myself. I love you. And I want to thank for the beautiful music today. It's not a small thing that Alan is here playing. My father loved live classical music. He loved classical guitar. Alan being here would be a personal touch. Alan would play music in my dad's house, and he loved the companionship of having music played in the house with friends. It meant a lot to him. And I want to thank neighbors. I want to thank people at the church for continued calls, visits, food, and church members and friends just checking, how's your dad doing? What's going on with your dad? Thank you so much. Thank you for the love and support with all those who love my father and my family. My father was blessed, as well as my family, by these things, and my father knew it, and he spoke of it, and he spoke of the blessing that he felt from it. The fact that my dad passed away on his birthday, and his memorial service is on the weekend of the finalization of the Tour de France weekend, is fitting for him. If you knew my dad, he loved the race. He loved the beauty and struggles in the race. My brother wrote in my dad's obituary that Paul lived a life striving for and learning about the best the world had to offer, and challenged his boys to do the same. Steve and I will have done well in our own lives if we meet this challenge of full force in our own family's lives the way that dad was in ours. I just want to say well done, Dad, and thank you, Dad, for continued blessings that you bring to our enriched lives, for you being a part of it. Thank you. Thank you.
And indeed, Paul Sanford helped make it a wonderful world. The setting for the scripture this morning, or this afternoon now, is the death of Lazarus. His two sisters, Mary and Martha, are deeply upset at Jesus because he didn't show up in time. They share that concern with Jesus, and Jesus speaks to them and says, "I am the resurrection and the life. Those who believe in me, even though they die, will live. And everyone who lives and believes in me will never die. Do you believe this?" And she said to him, "Yes, Lord, I believe that you are the Messiah, the Son of God, the one coming into the world." This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. Let us pray. O Lord, may the words of my mouth, the meditations of our hearts, be acceptable in your sight as we celebrate the life of your servant, Paul Sanford. Amen. I had the privilege of being Paul and Sandy's pastor in the late 80s. And their graciousness and warmth shown to me and my family at that particular time are still fixed in my memory. The warmth and the acceptance. Returning to St. Luke a little over a year ago, it gave me a wonderful opportunity to renew that friendship again. And I am so glad that I had that chance and that we were able to do that. Mark has already told you so many wonderful things about his dad, and I'm sure that Steve's going to add to that. He was an amazing person with many gifts and talents, which he used to the utmost, and I think that's the important key. Soft-spoken and gentleness belied a keen mind and fierce determination to do things right. While listening to an opera, he crafted some of the most beautiful works of wood that we have. I guess less than perfect wasn't really in his vocabulary. He seemed to have an amazing ability to see beauty in some unusual places and unusual things and unusual people. You know, beauty is seen with the eyes, but it is understood only with the eyes of the heart. And Paul had a heart for beauty. I treasure a beautiful sofa table that he gave to Ann and me at our retirement, and there are several other ministers out there that have those kind of things at their house. Later, when Janine and I were married, he gave us some matching end tables made out of the same type of wood. All of these are now in our house. And being the geek that I am, a ham radio operator, I commissioned him to make me a ham radio table. And I am the envy of all my friends. What a wonderful gift and what a wonderful talent. Paul, in my opinion, is in each of these works of art and of beauty. St. Luke United Methodist Church, which has already been alluded to, which he loved dearly, is filled with so many of those items. And Mark and Steve and Charlotte, they'll talk to you about these things and his love of family and his personal life, the inner Paul, if you will. But my honor here today is to talk about the faith that Paul shared with us and with humanity. Our funeral ritual and our theology tells us about death. Now, we know that the scriptures indicate that this life is not all, there is more. What that more is, is still a mystery. We see through a glass darkly, but then face to face. Theologians and poets and scholars alike have attempted to answer that question about what is beyond death. And some of the most beautiful images of heaven, works of marvelous art, music that transcends the human spirit, all seek to portray the joy of communion with God. But I'm not sure that any of these allow us to adequately talk about that mystery. As I was pondering the opening words which Evelyn shared with you of our service of death and resurrection and Paul's life, I was struck again by the words, "Whoever believes in me shall never die." Is that a denial of death itself? Of course, from the physical, we know the reality of that death. I was visiting with Paul, Janine and I were visiting just 2 days before he died, and he was so sick, lying there in the bed. And you saw what the ravages of cancer and all of the other things had done to him. Nobody has to tell us about the reality of death. We see it all around us. But I was also reminded of the magnificent struggle that he made to ward off that moment. So it must be referring to something more than this. Some say that it refers to our spirits which live on. And certainly there's a lot in the scriptures to support that understanding, and I in no way am negating that. But there is more. Mike McHarg, in his book, Finding God in the Waves, How I Lost My Faith and Found It Again Through Science, writes, "The afterlife is at least the persistence of our physical matter in the ongoing life cycle on Earth, the memes we pass on to others, and our unique neurological signature in the brain of those who knew us. The consequences of our actions persist beyond death, and our ethical considerations must include a timeline beyond our death." I say this to say that we do live on. But I'd like to expand on it just a little bit, just for a moment or two. This lamp right here was made by Paul. And as all things, he did it magnificently. See, I can even dim it, turn it on or off. He was fascinated. This is a Frank Lloyd Wright design. And he was fascinated by Wright's work. And when I look at this craftsmanship and attention to detail, in a real sense, Paul lives on through his work. The writer of the Holy Scripture says, "Blessed are the dead who die in the Lord. Yes, says the Spirit, that they will rest from their labors, and their work, their deeds, follow them." Every piece of wood that Paul crafted into something of beauty is a reminder he lives. I look at Steve and at Mark and at this marvelous family, and I see the love that you have for one another, and I see the accomplishments that you have made, and the wisdom that has been imparted to you, and the joy that is there. Paul and Sandy gave you these. And the beautiful thing is, those two still live on in you. I'd like to say Paul lives. Some of you are here today who were the recipients of his graciousness and care, taking you into his workshop there and becoming a mentor to you and sharing his knowledge and encouragement. I could ask for a show of hands from some of you. A term that we use to speak of living beyond death is sometimes referred to as eternal life or eternity. And Frederick Buechner, in his book Wishful Thinking, writes these words, "Sometimes an event occurs in our lives, a birth, a death, a marriage, some event of unusual beauty, pain, joy, through which we catch a glimpse of what our lives are all about and maybe even what life itself is all about. And this glimpse of what it's all about involves not just the present, but the past and the future. If time permitted, we could talk about time. And I could say to you, Paul lives. Anne Lamott tells of a dear friend of hers who died. But before she died, she gave Anne her favorite lovely blouse. And after her death, Anne Lamott would wear that blouse on special occasions, always being careful to place it back in her closet there and to take good care of it. But over the years, as she wore it to these occasions and reminded her of her friend, it became threadbare, just really worn. And yet she kept it. She held on to it because it was a part of her friend. She finally writes these words. You can tether them to earth. You can't tether them to earth anymore, because the thread has grown too thin. It's not that we cut them loose, but it is with the certainty of faith that we commit them to the eternal living one, letting them go, if you will. Another Paul the Apostle, says that for me to live is Christ, but to die is gain. And this suggests that our unique personhood will achieve its fullness only in the presence of the Creator. And so to this family and to friends, I say to you, I'm okay to leave it to those I love, including Paul, my dear friend, to leave him in the nearer presence where he lives forever. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.
In the past 5 years, while Paul and I so happily blended our lives together, he expanded my horizons and taught me so very much. He was a lover and a collector of Japanese woodblock prints, and on our wild and crazy dash to Boston to see the Great Wave by Hokusai, which is, if you are familiar with famous paintings, this is The Great Wave by Hokusai, I learned how word block prints were created. I learned that each color is a separate carving, meticulously matched up layer after layer, and the artisans were able to meld all together to create the beautiful masterpieces that still exist and are appreciated hundreds of years later. What an appropriate metaphor for Paul. He too exemplifies many separate layers meshed together. His early layers include hours on an aircraft carrier in the Navy, engineering, and an MBA. He told me his favorite job was the adjunct teaching of economics, a surprise layer for me. His expertise as a father shows today in his two fine sons. Service to the Boy Scouts of America was another layer. Food. He enjoyed creating great dishes and humble dishes in his kitchen. Dining in fine restaurants was always on the menu. Beauty. He insisted on impeccable landscaping, and with my urging had begun to incorporate some native plants into his plans. Most of all, he loved the planning and designing of his projects, whether it was building one of his beautiful pieces of furniture, putting Soji screens on the wall, painting crows in flight, or completing a commissioned piece. That crow project will be forever unfinished, but is still a treat for the eyes. He recently completed cabinets commissioned by the Shriners Hospital, and his last major furniture was the table Gary mentioned for his ham radio operations. His gift of furniture pieces he created for many of our pastors were only a few of his contributions to this church. As we would walk around the building, he would show me how many things were built by his hand. If you grab a tooled handrail as you go downstairs, it's one of his works. He was a man of deep faith, and that layer never wavered. Paul was a masterpiece made of many layers honed into a magnificent gentleman. It gives me comfort to know that 100 years from now, someone will run the hand over a piece of furniture that he left for us and appreciate the man they never knew just as he appreciated the works of Hiroshige or Hokusai and other artists he collected. How nice that we can celebrate his wondrous life as he lives on in the beauty that he left behind for us. One indelible lesson he taught me was the concept of a God wink. It describes those very special moments in life when coincidence is just not enough to explain what is happening. Little gifts, we call them. He gave me one last one. On the day he died, July the 4th, I followed him on his last journey out of his house, out the door, and down the driveway. The funeral home had draped him with an American flag in honor of his military service. As he reached the driveway, I asked them to pause as fireworks were booming and shooting into the air. It was as if the world were giving a final salute to this extraordinary man. The lady beside me from hospice commented, "Well, he's certainly going out with a bang." It was no doubt a God wink. Thank you.
Thank you, Alan.
So my brother worried about losing his notes. You may wish I had lost my notes after I finished this. Dad always challenged us to learn, to do, to strive for new things, to grow. For him, after his working life, it was learning and enjoying woodworking, cooking, wines, opera. Dad was a good role model. Dad loved my mom. Theirs was a love story, and it was fun. From their first date at the Barbecue in Nashville, Tennessee, their favorite song in high school, Cherokee, traveling to California, to settling down when Dad left the Georgia Tech and got his job at the TVA in Chattanooga. Pop, my dad's dad, was an imposing figure. Dad and Pop had a good relationship, but somewhat strained. Dad made sure that this wouldn't happen with us. Dad was scary when I was a little guy. He was big. You wouldn't believe that. Now, he was over 200 pounds. He was a big guy. But he tried hard with me, a challenging boy. And despite his Navy years, I think honestly the worst thing he ever said to me was, "Bud, you're eat up with the dumbass." And he was right. Dad would do special things for each of us. He would strive for something special. Growing up, when I was in junior high school, Dad was big. He changed his lifestyle and he began to run every day. And he took me to run, and he taught me to run. The coaches at Hickson Junior High School didn't know much about long-distance runners. They said I ran like a turkey. But Dad learned about long-distance running, and he trained me. I may still hold the mile record at Hickson. When we were young, trips on the Buffalo River in Arkansas were awesome, the very best for little boys. We could eat sardines each day, and we got to camp every night with our dad. We had awesome leaders, Lewis and Clark, Larry Duncan, and my dad. And then there were the older boys that I looked up to so much, Chip Evans, Steve, and Ken Duncan. These were awesome trips. Dad brought topo maps, and he used his navigation skills. He was a navigator in the Navy in the belly of an 88 Sky Raider, and we knew where we were. These were awesome. My last trip on that river with Dad occurred over my 30th birthday. That was a long time ago, still. But last year I received a package. Dad made me a clock, a beautiful piece of hand-rubbed cherry inscribed with Buffalo River, May 1989, with a smooth river stone attached to the top, a treasure. Dad was like that, not always remembering my birthday, but occasionally with something awesome. I think about Dad's shop today, it's emptying out a little bit. He gave away tools, and some of them to my friend Chip. And I said, "Chip, you're going to have Dad's spirit in there with you in your workshop," which we got to see. Chip just said, "Awesome." Walking around here at St. Luke, we grew up with some pretty amazing people. We were blessed. The times we had as a family were really great. Trips to Emerald Isle, Jekyll Isle, and just coming home. When we were in college, home was like a magnet for us. We came because we wanted to. We cooked together, and we challenged ourselves, making good food and thinking about the next trip. When my girls were young, as a single dad, Lala and Granddaddy's was an oasis. Seeing them with their grandparents and all the love in the world kept me going. We made a lot of trips from Richmond to Chattanooga. And then Gilly and Taylor were hugged right in. Just hugged right in. Big Al and I visited Dad this year on spring break. And I think about the smiles with Granddaddy, her in her Noog t-shirt. Yeah, Chattanooga, Noog, that's a thing. I am super thankful for the grandparent experience that my girls had. We learned when my dad had hip surgery 20 years ago that he was the Energizer Bunny. They would prescribe 20 leg lifts. He would do 50 and then another rep. above and beyond. Dad around the house, in his yard, in his shop, was the Energizer Bunny until the end. So much energy, so much he wanted to do. When he retired, his first huge challenge was building a Sam Maloof rocker. If you're a woodworker, you know who Sam is. I admired his enterprise so much. He set about to make this beautiful piece, and it was his project, and he took his time. He loved the challenge. He studied with Sam and other woodworkers. He did not sit and watch TV in his retirement. He was such a role model. But also beyond woodworking, there were other areas. He began drawing, and gourmet cooking, gardening, never stopping. He was the Energizer Bunny. When Mom died, a piece of home was gone, but we bonded, and Brother and I were there. We had some really good guy trips. He loved Frank Lloyd Wright. We went to many of Frank Lloyd Wright's houses on these trips. Auld Rast down in South Carolina, of course, Falling Water, out to Wisconsin, and of course, Chicago. We talked, we loved, we visited. He loved the St. Luke concert series. It was a gift for this church. He loved music, all kinds of music. Dad liked to give. He made furniture and other handmade things for family, for friends, for ministers. And on one trip, he and I made wooden shoe boxes for the boys to hold cleaning. He loved that, just sitting in his shop, making that simple gift for the boys. Dad would give a piece of art off of his wall or a porcelain nativity figure. Once Brother and I were visiting Nantahala Inn, and I looked behind the counter and I said, "Brother, that looks like a piece of art we had at home." And my brother said, "That is the piece of art we had at home." He was always giving. In the Gospel of Luke, I think about the parable of the fig tree. The landowner wants to cut the tree down, but the gardener asks for one more chance. Well, Dad did cut the fig tree down in his yard this year. He knew he would not make it to the next harvest, but he created saplings and nurtured them and then gave them to each of his neighbors. That was Dad. Something unique, something enjoyable, giving. When I think about people and events, I remember them in the music. Today, I think of Dad and beyond his favorite guitar music. Alan, thank you. I'll always remember his love of opera. He grew up in Nashville, Tennessee, with the Grand Ole Opry, and Dad used to cut little Jimmy Dickens' yard. But he learned about the Metropolitan Opera as he listened to the radio in his shop, working on projects. This was yet another thing he picked up and learned and loved and enjoyed. A favorite artist, a favorite song, I don't know. He loved Pavarotti particularly, and certainly one of Puccini's operas. His favorite, I couldn't say, but an aria maybe from Madame Butterfly, Tosca, or La Boheme. Dad, thank you for letting me know what these are and taking me to see them. When I was a teenager, I asked my grandmother Pearl about dying, and she said, "Stevie, I'm not afraid of dying. My Bill and most of my friends are gone. I miss them. I want to see them again." When Steve Jobs died, his sister relayed his last words, "Oh, wow. Oh, wow. Oh, wow." The weekend before Dad died, he had a fall and was at the hospital in the ICU. Brother and I made it there into the ICU, and Dad said, "Break me out of here." And we did. The prime directive for my mother was for her to die peacefully at home as she suffered with Alzheimer's. I am so happy that we also met this directive with Dad. He was at home with Charlotte, Brother, and me when he left us. He knew we were there, and he was happy to be home. And he had multiple birthday love you calls during that day. And now we're back at St. Luke, a big part of his in our life. So driving home to Richmond after Dad's death, somewhere near the Hiwassee River, I went through torrential rains, just pounding rains. And then around the Teleco, the sun and blue skies popped out, and the most amazing clouds. oh, well. I thought, Dad, God is letting you learn cloud art. Thank you for this gift. Awesome. He is gone from here, but we'll meet again.
All your love never ends. When all else fails, you're still God. We pray to you for one another in our need and for all anywhere who mourn with us today. To those who doubt, give light. To those who are weak, strength. To all who have sinned, mercy. To all who sorrow, your peace. Keep true in us the love with which we hold one another. In all our ways, we trust you. And to you, with your church on earth and in heaven, we offer honor and glory now and forever. Amen. Receive Paul Robert Sandiford into the arms of your mercy, O Lord. Raise Paul up with all your people. Receive us also and receive us into a new life. Help us so to love and serve you in this world, that we may enter into the joy in the world that is to come. Through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen.
Would you please pray with me? God of love, we thank you for all with which you have blessed us even to this day, for the gift of joys in days of health and strength, and for the gift of your abiding presence and promise in days of pain and grief. We praise you for home and for friends, and for our baptism and place in your church with all who have faithfully lived and died, including our beloved Paul. Above all else, we thank you for Jesus, who knew our griefs, who died our death, and who rose for our sake, and who lives and prays for us. And so, as he taught us, we now pray, praying, Our Father,
who art in heaven,
hallowed be thy name.
Thy kingdom come,
thy will be done,
on earth as it is in heaven.
Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us of our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. And now, as a special offering, you're going to sing Paul's favorite song. Gilly and Steve are going to come help lead us. It is We'll Meet Again. You have the lyrics in your worship bulletin.
I cut out those. So, Alan, again, thank you for accommodating. I just wanted to make a couple of words. We're not reenacting Beauty and the Beast up here. this was a song from World War II, Vera Lynn. And, you know, when you headed out on a troop ship, you weren't quite sure whether you were coming back, but you knew that you would meet again. So Dad was deaf, pretty much, his hearing aids. He's not now, so let's sing loud so that he can hear us, and he's going to love it. Alan?
Again, don't know where, don't know when.
But I know we'll meet Benediction. We have a simple reception at the house at 5 o'clock. For anybody who doesn't know where that is, it looks out over Signal Mountain. It's at 5805 Crestview Drive. All of y'all are, of course, invited. Thank you.
Now, may the Father, from whom every family in heaven and on earth is named, according to the riches of God's glory, grant you to be strengthened with might through God's Spirit in your inner being, that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith, and that you, being rooted and grounded in love, may be able to comprehend with all the saints what is the breadth and length and height and depth, and to know the love of Christ which surpasses knowledge, that you may be filled with the fullness of God. So may the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, keep your hearts and minds in the knowledge and love of God and of his Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord. And may you depart this day with the blessing of God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, now and forever. Amen.